The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. It was always my experience, after being ordained, I seemed to make friends with priests who were 20 years older than me. And so I've come to that point in my life where I've lost a lot of friends. One of them happens to be a Benedictine theologian. His name was Killian O'Donnell. He was at St. John's College in Minnesota. He was a brilliant sacramental theologian. And I leaned on his teachings pretty heavily in a reflection that I gave on baptism at an ecumenical conference a few years back. And so I want to tell you that a lot of this material I didn't come up with on my own. It's the genius of this Father Killian, who died probably 3 or 4 years ago. I think that the reality is that we don't appreciate this feast day of the baptism for what it is. We don't actually appreciate our own baptism for what it is. And I think that this reflection is something, I'm digging it up out of the archives, this reflection is something that really is important. So I want everybody to listen carefully, and hopefully you can take something home. There is something I've learned only recently, something that will forever change the way I think of our faith. After 63 years of life and 30 years as a priest, I'm not sure how I never knew this. It just shows that we always have more to learn. I always thought, like the calendar year, time was centered around the birth of Jesus. However, the earliest teachings of the fathers of the church, especially in the Syriac and Armenian traditions, say that the Old Testament doesn't end and the New Testament doesn't begin with the incarnation and birth of Jesus. In fact, the birth of Jesus, for them, was an event leading up to Jesus' baptism, which was the full manifestation of Christ and the announcement of salvation. Jesus' baptism is the icon of our incorporation into the life of God. In him, we are baptized. When the Lord as man was washed in the Jordan, it was we who were washed in him and by him. It was the beginning of the new dispensation of grace. The baptism of the Lord is one of the most ancient feasts, perhaps second only to Easter, though it seems insignificant to our contemporary culture. We've already taken down our Christmas decorations and basically moved on. The most ancient liturgy, the Easter Vigil of the Resurrection of the Lord, is the celebration of baptism, initiation, and the renewal of our baptismal promises each year. This feast of the baptism of the Lord is the culmination of the entire season of Christmas. Maybe one of the reasons we don't have a strong sense of the centrality of Jesus' own baptism is that it was confused from the earliest years by the Arian heresy and adoptionism in the first centuries. They denied the divinity of Jesus and taught that he, only a man, needed to have a special anointing by the Spirit to be the Messiah, hence the baptism in the Jordan. Baptism became the point of debate and division from the very beginning. St. John and the fathers are clear about how the Son of God was the Word from the beginning, that God became flesh. Clearly, Jesus enters the water, and afterward the Spirit appears, and the Father is heard to testify to the reality of this fusion of Son of God, Son of Man. The Spirit does not have the role of anointing Jesus here. He is here to give witness. He is the advocate. Jesus is the one who consecrates, anoints, and renews. In Judaic law, the testimony of two witnesses was required to verify the identity of someone. Today, it is the Father and the Holy Spirit themselves who testify to the identity of the Son of God. This is a moment of great significance. The first Adam, and through him all creation, had lost the indwelling Holy Spirit. We had lost the Holy Spirit. All creation has been groaning for millennia ever since. At this moment, Jesus, as he did at the first creation, brings order to the chaos of the waters above the heavens. Well, in Semitic theology or cosmology, there is this idea that the sky is blue because there's this huge dome and there are waters above the heavens. So when you hear that in the Old Testament, waters above the heavens, that's what they mean. He brought order to the chaos of the waters above the heavens, and by stepping into the Jordan River, ends the chaos of original sin. There's a poet of the Syriac Christian tradition from around the year 500, Jacob of Sarug. He says that by stepping down into the Jordan River, Jesus consecrates all waters. The entire nature of the waters perceived that you had visited them. The Spirit restores a wounded cosmos. Until this moment, 30 years of Jesus' life is basically unrecorded, unseen, and private. Suddenly now, after his baptism, he goes to work. He's tempted in the desert. He begins to teach, to heal, and to drive out evil. The new creation begins when he leaves his cloak of divinity behind in the water, so that we, entering the water, might put it on. This was a popular clothing metaphor of early Greek and Syriac theologians. In the year 350, Ephraim the Syrian, he says, the Exalted One knew that Adam had desired to become a god, so he sent his son, who put on Adam's cloak in order to give him his desire. The son clothes himself with full humanity. Through sin, Adam himself became lost and forfeited the robe of glory. To find Adam and restore the robe, divinity itself puts on Adam by putting on a body at the incarnation. Some theologians recognize three stages of the incarnation of the Son of God, not just the conception of Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, by the Holy Spirit. They recognize three stages of the incarnation of the Son of God. Nativity is one. Baptism in the Jordan is the second. And the third is his descent into the place of the dead after dying on the cross and before the resurrection. Jesus becomes the second Adam in the womb of Mary. At his descent into the Jordan as the second Adam, he places the robe of glory in the water so that Adam can go down and recover it. After his death on the cross, he descends into hell to look for the lost Adam and give him the robe of glory. The descent into the place of the dead takes place not in historical, but in sacred time, not in geographical space, but in sacred space. That's why you and I can enter the mystery right now. Fusing the descent into the Jordan with the descent into hell is a way of declaring that the whole process of incarnation affects all historical time, all geographical space, wherever Adam is lost, wherever we are lost. Christ thus enters into both past and future time. Salvation is, in fact, universal in history and beyond history. At baptism, the candidate goes down into the waters to take up the robe of glory that Adam had lost, that Christ recovered and deposited in the Jordan. The robe of glory belongs to the Genesis paradise of Adam at the beginning of time, but also to Adam's restored paradise at the end of time. After the Christian goes down into the Jordan, that is, into Christ's baptism, they live a salvation which is in between what is already achieved in Christ and what is already not known personally. Baptism is the wedding feast of Christ and the church, with catechumens as the guests, who have been given a wedding garment, which is the robe of glory. The wedding robe is to be kept spotless until one enters fully into the paradise of eternity. The baptism of Jesus, therefore, is the beginning of all that the Father intended when the Son took flesh, the return of all of us to God, the gathering up of all creation, and the making new, that everything might become one in him and he in all. These mysteries began at Jesus' baptism and continue to be our life and our hope today.